A very good morning to you all and welcome to day 24 of our 40 days Lenten reflections and prayers. Our text for reflection is 1 Timothy 4 verses 6 to 10. If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant of Jesus Christ, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle. For our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people and particularly of all believers. Godliness is profitable for all things. The English dictionary defines godliness as the quality or practice of conforming to the laws and wishes of God, devoutness and moral uprightness. To be godly is to be wise, and to be wise is to live in godliness, reflecting the nature of the kingdom of God in the course of everyday life. Dear friends, in our text, the Apostle Paul admonishes young Timothy to stop wasting his time arguing over godless ideas, that is, arguments that do not help his walk with God, and arguments that do not grant him moral integrity. Instead, he should train himself to be godly. According to Paul, godliness has advantages both for this life and for the life to come. The New King James Version of the Bible actually puts it this way: bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. Godliness is profitable for all things. That is, he who has godliness wants nothing more, because godliness alone can direct people to complete perfection. It is the beginning, the middle, and the end of the Christian life, and therefore, where that is present and wholesome, nothing is imperfect. We ought to apply ourselves altogether to piety alone, because when we have attained it, God asks nothing more from us, and we ought to give attention to bodily exercises in such a manner as not to hinder the practice of holiness. Dear friend, I find it helpful in my thinking to interpret godliness in the context of holiness. And one person who has greatly helped my understanding of holiness is the Right Reverend John Charles Ryle, the first Anglican Bishop of Liverpool. He gives us beautiful insights into the meaning of holiness. Let me quote him extensively. Holiness is the habit of being of one mind with God. It is the habit of agreeing in God's judgment, hating what he hates, loving what he loves, and measuring everything in this world by the standard of his word. The one who most entirely agrees with God is the most holy person. A holy person will endeavor to shun every known sin and to keep every known commandment. They will focus their minds on God, a hearty desire to do his will, a greater fear of displeasing him than of displeasing the world, and a love to all his ways. Holy people will feel what Paul felt when he said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, Romans 7:22. Holy people will strive to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. They will not only live the life of faith in him and draw from him all their daily peace and strength, but they will also labor to have the mind that was in Christ and to be conformed to his image. It will be their aim to bear with and forgive others, even as Christ forgave us, to be unselfish, to walk in love as Christ loved us, to be lowly-minded and humble as Christ himself. They will remember that Christ was a faithful witness for the truth, that it was his meat and drink to do his Father's will, and they will continually deny themselves in order to minister to others. Happy is he who has learned to make Christ his all, both for salvation and example. My dear friend, much time would be saved and much sin prevented if people often asked themselves the question, what would Christ have said and done if he were in my place? So let me ask you as I bring this to a close. Dear friend, are you godly? Or if you want, are you holy? That is, conforming yourself to the laws and wishes of God, devout and morally upright. Let us examine ourselves and try to live up to the standards and values of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. Everlasting, ever gracious, and ever seeking and ever calling God, yours is the offer of life, because the gift of life itself is yours. Gracious God, our Father, neither our thoughts nor our ways are yours, O God. Hearing your call on our lives, we fall short. Invited to come to you, we ignore your presence. Encouraged to praise you, we think we find better things to do. Rather than trust in your help, we despair when facing violence, deceit and hate, and find ourselves powerful to respond well. Rather than prepare for uncertain challenges ahead, we prefer to enjoy the present, then lament loss of lives, homes, and hope in the face of flood, fire, or drought. Rather than turn what may yet give life, we root out, rip up, and discard, and in our consuming, we find little peace. Want to take care in our living, we do our own thing. Distressed by disaster, we have no endurance to reconstruct. Seeking our satisfaction, we trample on promises made earlier. Tickled by trinkets, we hoard rather than give. Our spirits thirst and faint. Pardon us as we return to you, O Father. Have mercy as we turn from thoughts and ways which are unworthy of you, and lead us into life everlasting. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.